interesting story. That Cat D10N is a big, big, big dozer. They only have one that's bigger than that, and that's the D11, and I cannot even imagine what operating that thing would be like. Good grief. Now I know what you mean about those little weight bridges, too. It's bad enough. I have to watch for those all the time with the trucks that I drive. And believe it or not, DOT is all over in the back roads of Oconee and Pickens County watching for, especially dump trucks, but other trucks as well, watching for weight violations crossing those bridges. They're out there, big time out there. Some days they're out there real heavy, and the other day you don't see them at all. Sometimes you just see one. But every once in a while they get out there and they absolutely pound it down out there, right? And all kinds of drivers, nasty tickets and everything. But yeah, you gotta watch those bridges. That dozer would have destroyed almost every bridge that there is out there.
I worked for OE about 19 years, and this guy was a tightwad guy. He wasn't even by grease degrees of machines. We had to save our burnt motor oil, and you put it on the pins when they started squeaking. He would not buy a grease gun and grease. But I was pulling a... Let me think what I was pulling. I was moving my excavator from the shop over in Malden over to what is that? Townsend over there on 85 next to Clemson, and just as I got in the lane to pull over and get off to go out on the believe I went down 253, I ain't sure. But DOT pulled me over. And I got out and I had my pipe foreman riding with me. And that DOT guy, he got out, he checked my license and all that. And he walked back there to the low boy. Didn't have any brakes on it. The rotary chambers, all up on that sucker was broke, so there wasn't no air brakes. The turn signals didn't work. The brake lights didn't work on it. And the tires was bad on it. And Dennis, my pipe foreman, he had to use the bathroom real bad, and we were out there at the off-ramp on 85. And the owner of the company kept calling me, "Where y'all at?" I said, "We over here, we got stopped by DOT. Well, tell him my name and just y'all come on out to the job site. He'll follow you." I went back there and asked that guy. He said, "Hey, Paul, y'all know where y'all not moving this thing?" I said, "Well, my pipe foreman up there, he about to pee all over himself. Yeah, he don't want to pull it out here on the highway and get another ticket." And there's that little old service station there, sort of a truck stop. He allowed us to pull up there. About 45 minutes later, the boss man called, "Walt, are y'all on your way yet?" I said, "No. What's the holdup?" I said, "He's got his right foot up on the low boy, and he's still writing tickets." Man, he wouldn't let us move the low boy. I had to unhook from it and go in there and get permission to leave it sitting there. And then that night, we went back over there. I backed up the low boy, hooked everything up, and went back out the job site. I don't know what that DOT guy thought the next morning when he come in, and that low boy wasn't sitting there with that excavator on it, but I never did hear nothing else out of it. KJ4, WCM, K4OIM.
K4LIM, KJ4WZM. That's a crazy, crazy, crazy story right there. Whoa. I have only been stopped by them one time, and it was not nearly that dramatic. I got stopped for running 68 in the 55, and he let me off with a warning for less than 5 hours and did not even post it to my motor vehicle record. So I was very thankful of that. So that's my only dealing ever with the DOT. Good grief, you got an out of service out of that one. I wonder if the boss man ever paid those tickets or not.
And we were running a license plate on the low boy off of a pickup truck. They got, man, I had a notebook full of tickets the time I got back, got over there to the job site, Daniel.
That is absolutely crazy. Wow. Well, I'm surprised you didn't take y'all in jail for that one. Good grief.
I'll never figure out. We were building a waste treat that's on that waste treatment plant down there at La France. And we were using those metal forms to build the circle for the clarifier in the waste treatment plant. We got through with the forms. We were renting them from a company out of Charlotte. And the boss man, he said, "Well, you got CDO last. Everybody else is going to have to go home because it had started sleeting." And my daughter was just, she might have been 8, 9 months old. He said, "I know you need to get the hours in." He said, "I'm going to send two of these laborers with you, and we're going to load that flatbed truck. And I need you to take these forms back to Charlotte and turn them in." Well, he gave me $300 cash money, you know, in case something went wrong, a flat tire or something. Well, I get to Charlotte, cross over into North Carolina going up 85, and I had to pull in the weight station. They weighed me, green light hit, I pulled off and went on into Charlotte. Got up there, unloaded the forms. I was running low on fuel, so I pulled in this little truck stop, filled the tanks up with fuel, and the two guys went there and got them something to drink and all. Well, I did too. But we coming back down, coming into South Carolina, there's the weigh station. I pull in. They got me for being overloaded, and I was empty. And I explained to the guy, I said, "Listen, I come out of Spartanburg, and I was loaded." And I went over the scales in North Carolina, and they gave me the green light. He said, "Well, I don't know about North Carolina, but right now you're overloaded." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Get out of the truck." I got out of the truck. They weighed the truck. It was in the limits. Get back in the truck. I got back in the truck. I was overweight. And the truck was running a pickup truck, license plate on it. And I said, "Well, man, I just worked for this company. I mean, what am I supposed to do?" He said, "Well, I know they give you expense money. What they give you in case you have trouble?" I said, "They gave me $300, and I have stopped up the road there a few miles back and fuel up with gas, and all I got left, sir, is $179. He said, "That's what your fine is." I paid the fine, and they let me go, Daniel.
Ha! Makes me like the DOT even less. Wow. That isn't even fair right there.
There was nothing in the truck but me and the two laborers. And it was just a regular flatbed truck. It wasn't even a tractor trailer. It was just a regular flatbed truck with them forms on it. And I got Wade going into North Carolina, but they didn't check the license plate. Well, I wasn't overweight, but when I come back empty, they got me, they didn't charge me for the license plate. They got me for being overweight.
And the little bit that you were overweight, the fine these days, if they were honest about it, wouldn't even be anywhere near that much. It's a dollar every 10 pounds, I think.
What, Daniel?
With my battery out.
Some joker on the phone is, can't speak English. So I'm going to go ahead and clear. This is a... KJ4WZMK4OIM. I'm going to say 73s and catch you later, Daniel. Good night. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, well, KJ4WZM. All right, do I have any more additional check-ins? Please call KJ4WZM or net control.
ZM. Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo, Uniform Romeo. I'm glad I called you. I was out working and totally forgot about it. He checked me in. Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo, Uniform Romeo, Chris, out here in Greenville.
That's KO4, RUR. Yeah, RUR, I think it was. KG4, WDM, I got you.
Well, I do appreciate it, sir.
Had a echoing station at one point that was on here for RagTube, but I think he has gone away.
It's the MK4OIM. There's some station trying to contact you right there.
Yeah. KJ4WZM. I'm back. I had to change out my battery too, so that worked. MKJ4WZM, are you back, Walt?
RUR. Walt was on there just a few moments ago. I guess he might have disappeared in the clouds.
A minute ago. Now he's gone away. I was right chilling with him.
Appreciate you checking me in. Appreciate you doing the net tonight. I got in and I'm like, holy cow, it's almost 10 o'clock. And I guess I was lucky to catch you still on.
It goes until at least 10 o'clock. I normally get about 50 check-ins. Tonight I have seconds.
Great to you. W. Richard and Grable. Please check me in. No traffic, no round table.
That is K4ROW. That is Richard and Greenville. Got you checked in, Richard. Negative and negative.
A minute ago, Walt said he had a phone call.
I'll wait around for him. I had to change out my battery because it was pretty much dead. So, I may have missed that.
I was doing that. Then he had a phone call and had to go and signed out. But then he came back a minute ago. I heard him. That's all I know about it. But anyway, 73. Thanks for calling the net. K4OW.
Actually file my net report and close out the net while I wait for him to come back then. Because I think that's going to be it for my check-ins tonight.
There's two more hanging around. But maybe there were two more hanging around that check-in. I don't hear them.
Yeah, I'm at 47 right now.
My bad. Well... never did make good grades in math.
That's okay. I got thinking about it recently. How little school actually mattered when it comes to my daily life. No one really sits there and asks me, now what grade did you make on your on math in fifth grade? Did you make an A or a B or a D or a... Nah, nobody even asks that. In fact, I've only had one job ever ask for proof of my high school diploma out of all the jobs I've had.
That's not bad.
I job that I have is a job that supposedly doesn't exist. Oh, I get paid to sit there and look out the window all day.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Yeah, I'm driving truck. So I sit there and look out the window all day. And that's pretty cool.
Well, something I probably already know the answer to, but did things change when the ownership changed at Green Cove?
Yeah, it changed all right. Very interesting that you know that. Wow, all right. Yeah, I changed companies when that happened, too. I said goodbye and good riddance. I wasn't going to deal with the new company. How much would you like to know?
Well, usually I've been through that myself. And you know, when the ownership changes, the first people that walk through the door are the bean counters. We all know what that means.
And first thing I noticed is all the, I don't even know a polite way to say this over the radio, so I'm going to leave out the words I would normally use to describe all these people. But the corporate kiss butts, if you want to call them that, is the most polite term I can think of. The ones that just had jobs invented for them. They bring them in by the hordes, and they're all on different tax brackets, and this tax bracket's above that tax bracket, above that tax bracket. There's always people who make a lot more and have a bigger position of absolute meaninglessness, and it's like, why? I just don't understand it. The company operated fine with, like, 4 tiers of management before, and that was from owner to bottom. And now you're going to have, like, 20 of them? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I know the former owners had for years, but I didn't know about it changing hands till I heard you say something about it the other night.
The Farrs used to own it. And Betty Farr sold it. Bill Powers, I think, still is going to work for. He was underneath Betty Farr. There was somebody else between him and Betty, though. A guy whose name I can't remember. He was part owner, though. I guess part of Betty's family, maybe her brother or something. I don't remember. But anyway, those people sold it and divided the money up in the family. And then Reyes Corporation came in, and basically they're turning everything upside down a bit over time. They won't sell any more soda and water and energy drinks. It'll only be beer. And one thing that I didn't like is they are loading heavy-duty, high-tech safety technologies in the trucks and had us sign an electronics policy and this, that, and the other, basically stating that if we were caught talking on the phone, whether or not it was a hands-free Bluetooth device or not, we'd be terminated. No listening to the radio. There's cameras in the trucks that, you know, anytime you shift around in your lane and you know, hit the dash line or hit the solid line or whatever, it takes a video of you inside the truck and the conditions outside the truck and sends it off to the safety board. Anytime you roll through a stop sign without coming to a complete and total 100% stop that the GPS sees as a stop, you might come to a stop for like a second, but the GPS is still registering 3 miles an hour. It's going to send that off to be analyzed. Anytime the light changes and due to the weight of the truck, you're not able to stop for the traffic light and it changed red and you went through the intersection, there goes another video. You take your hands off the steering wheel to eat something, there goes another video and it tells you, warning, distracted driving, warning, stop sign violation, warning, red light violation, warning this, that, and the other, and the overspeed warning this, and I wasn't going to deal with that. So I changed companies because I told them that if the truck knew how to drive itself better than I did, and they needed to have an entire safety board to analyze my behavior, then they could just have the truck drive itself. They didn't need me, and I was going to go find someone who needed a truck driver.
Well, I know exactly where you're coming from. I used to work on the railroad, and I ran engines. And there's more technology on them that's in that truck, believe me.
Okay, I believe you. But at the same time, that's mind-blowing to me, because as far as I'm concerned, the train stays on the track and it goes down the track. I'm sure that there's communication between that train and the other trains that are around, but I would not realize ever that the train needed the amount of technology that's on those trucks that they decided to load them up with, that they operated just fine without.
You'd have to work there for you to really understand it, but you know, you got speeds in this place, and speeds on this curve, and speeds over this crossing, and you use this much air on your air brakes here, and you can't do this at the same time you're doing that kind of stuff.
I got reading about Norfolk Southern's little thing. They are short on train engineers and conductors, just like everybody else is short on drivers. And so they had an ad out recently, and I went in depth and detail into looking at all that kind of stuff and found out that there's a whole process just to become, basically, if you want to call it, a certified conductor. And then you go up from there, because it's part of a union thing, they actually take you from your conductor position and put you in the engineer position, and you're back to the drawing board again on that. Start all over with more hours of training and this, that, and other. A lot of stuff is involved, is what I was reading. A lot. And I wasn't aware of all that.
The way it is now, whether you want to do it or not, when you start, that's where you're going to wind up one day, and if you don't make it into the engineer craft, then you're terminated, no matter how good of a trainman you were. So, but it wasn't that, you know, didn't used to be that way. You had a choice if you wanted to move up. You know, you could ask to do that, or if they asked you, you could turn it down or accept it or whatever, but no more. It's just today's railroad part of it. It's not like the good old days.
The good old days are gone. I wish there was a way to get them back, and I don't know how. I wish I had the opportunity to live starting 40 years before I actually have. I think I would have enjoyed the world back then a lot more than I like this one to any degree now. I mean, the technology is cool a little bit, because you can, you know, take a picture on your phone and send it to somebody in the blink of an eye. That part is cool. But everything else, I don't know, I can't really say that I would prefer this over the way things used to be before I was even born.
Things. I guess overall it's better, but sometimes I have a hard time convincing myself of that, but I guess overall, you know, medical-wise, technology-wise, things are better. You know, people can get new knees and new hips, and it used to be they just got in a wheelchair.
That is really important. Also, the progress they've made with things like diabetes and cancer, although that didn't used to be as common either. Although maybe people just died and they didn't know what caused it. I don't know. But there's been a lot of progress made as far as knowledge, even if not all of it has been put to use. They've gained a lot of knowledge on how to deal with a lot of that kind of stuff that they didn't have before. And that aspect of it is definitely helpful. I'm kind of sort of still a young person and kind of sort of not. I'm 27. A lot of people that I know get absolutely buried in phones and computers and stuff. But I actually call this net on pen and paper. And I don't know if I'm the only one that does that anymore or not. But the only time I even touch an electronic device is to check my Echolink stations to make sure I don't have anyone waiting and to log my net report. Other than that, it's all pen and paper.
Well, too, doesn't it? A good old number two pencil, hard to beat sometimes.
To remove the sections and completely fill it up with net logs. And I used up that one and got given another notebook, which had some stuff in it, and I started filling up the empty pages on that now, too. But I felt really proud of myself for filling an entire large notebook full of net control check-ins. It's neat to be able to pick that thing up and sneeze through and go, ha-ha, yeah.
The good thing is the notebook, it won't lose its memory. It won't crash.
Lights go out, too. So wake up the next morning, there it is.
Well, that's been good. I'm gonna let you run. Enjoy talking with you. And I'll catch you next time. Have a good weekend. I'm glad you like your new job. I remember the good old days when it was Southern Railway, and then it became Norfolk Southern. And then all of a sudden, the things that you would got an attaboy for, you get fired for them. So, I know where you at, or where you were. Have a good one, K4OW.
On to Richard. And before you go, I have one example for you. I know exactly what you're talking about there. And here's a slight example. I got in trouble at Greenco one time because the sliding front gate failed. And I took it apart and fixed it. And one of the office people saw me fixing it and went absolutely ballistic. And I had to get special permission from my boss to finish fixing the gate because they were going to have the company that installed the gate come out and fix it because the gate kept breaking. And I took it apart and figured out what the problem was and fixed it and put it back together. Voila, gate works, same day, instead of waiting 3 or 4 weeks for them to come back out and fix it again.
That reminds me. I used to think that they would talk about things, things that somebody's going to do and you know it's not going to work because you've done it, tried it before, and it's been tried a bunch of times, it just doesn't work. You'd think it'd have a wall of wisdom and write that stuff down. We tried this, and this is what happened. We tried it again, and so. But they never had that. I never could figure out why they didn't do that. But it's always going to be somebody, and they think they're going to get it done this time. But it always stayed the same.
Yep. Do what you mean. Well, Richard, I definitely enjoy talking to you. And if you've got to go, you can go. I ain't going to keep you around. I'll go ahead and finish my net report real quick and post that up. But I do appreciate you hanging around for some comments. And thank you for asking about Greenco. I had no idea that you had paid attention to that, and I hadn't really remembered saying too much about it. But I definitely appreciate you coming back to me on it. It's something that really bothered me at the time because I had been at that company only about a year. And I don't really particularly enjoy hopping jobs and getting this reputation for only being at a place for 1 or 2 years and then going to the next one for 1 or 2 years. My dad worked at Caterpillar for 19 and a half years and only left that place because the door closed. They moved it to Texas for cheap immigrant labor. And so I always held that up as my model. I don't get along with my dad on everything, but I was always super proud of him on that, and I wanted to do just like that. But then run into these jobs where I've got to leave. This just isn't going to work. Yeah, I kind of feel bad about it in a way. But thanks for asking about that. KJ4WZM.
Things just don't work out the way you want them to, but, you know, I knocked around and had a handful of jobs, and I just, that job, I kind of, well, somebody saw the ad in the paper, and I was going to drive to Florence and apply for a job with the Seaboard. Because I had a couple of buddies that worked for the Seaboard, and somebody said, Southern Railway's interviewing in Greenville. And I thought, well, you know, I can drive to Florence anytime. I think I'll go on up here and see what happens. And I showed up at 8 o'clock that morning, and 3:30 that afternoon, I'd been fingerprinted and had a job, provided I could pass the physical background check. And that lasted about 40 years. So you'll never know. K4RW.
Good talking to you, Richard. K4RW, KJ4WZM. Are you Richard in Slabtown?
I'm Richard in Greenville.
Richard in Greenville. Okay, I can't remember. There's a Slabtown station that I have to check in every once in a while. No, I drove through there for the first time the other day, and I was trying to figure out who it was so I could tell them I've finally been through their town. But good talking to you. And I got KF4RUR Offenbach in here, too. So good talking to you, Richard, and I hope to talk to you later on down the log. I really, really enjoyed it. Thanks for coming back to me. K4ROW, KJ4WZM. Yeah, go ahead.
Daniel, listening to you and Richard talk about the bean counters and the brown nosers, I just started chuckling and started thinking about my job and what I work now, because it's almost exactly the same except for the cameras and stuff like that. We haven't gone that far.
It was those talking cameras that was the breaking point for me. The cameras literally talk to you and tell you things and give their opinions on your driving. And I was about to start a daily exercise routine of my middle digit on my, probably my right hand every time it made audible remarks on my driving, and that wasn't going to bode well for me in the long run.
And hearing Richard talk about the railroad, it's kind of cool because I think it's at flea market. My brother found, I believe it's what they use, I'm not sure, but it's a, Richard, if you're still listening, it's a Motorola, I guess it's a handheld phone or some type of radio phone that they used back in the day.
Donkey, K4RW.
Motorola, it's a big box, and it's got like a receiver, like a telephone receiver with a button in the middle, and it's got a little antenna, and it takes the batteries inside.
Is it one of the big radios that they used to have a strap, and they wore it over their shoulder? It's a lot bigger than a walkie-talkie. It had a telephone-type handset on it.
So what it is, it doesn't have the strap, but it has everything else on it. And I looked it up, and I was like, I believe this is a railroad phone or a radio phone. And so I'm going to work on getting batteries for it and everything, hopefully get it back going, kind of put it back into real good shape.
That's an old one there. They, imagine having to hang on the side of a boxcar with that thing hanging off your shoulder.
And, you know, y'all were just talking about how far technology has come.
That's what they used to have. Then they got the regular, like, handheld-type radios, Motorolas. By the time I showed up, I guess, or maybe I've seen some of those big ones in use, though. got hired in 1970. There's still a few of those around. They started getting the smaller ones.
I don't, but yeah, I heard you guys talking, and I'm still sticking around. My radio ain't got nothing to do. It's Friday night, and I figured I'd chime in for a second. KO4RUR.
Good to talk with you. It's K4OW. I'm out of here.
It'll be 73, y'all, and Daniel let you get your net report in, and I'll be sticking around, but I'm just going to be on the sideline watching the game.
Sounds good. I'll go ahead and submit this thing. I'll still be around too for a little while. I'll probably knock off around sometime around 11 or 12, somewhere around there. But I'll still be around for a little while. It'll be EZM now securing the Blue Ridge Demeter Network there. Thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 to everybody, and good night. I'm going to swap antennas around real quick, and I'll be back. Again, back again.
KO4RUR, you are. You sounded pretty good in there. You're a little fuzzy, but I can hear you.
Back to my rubber duck antenna. I have a half-wave mobile antenna on top of the roof that I've been using. But went back to my rubber duck so I can leave the coax cable.
In traffic control, we do rent and sell equipment, and we do emergency services. We do traffic control for utility companies, construction companies, and for Department of Transportation across the U.S. It's a company called AWP, and we just acquired a couple offices in California and Hawaii. So yeah, we're getting out there. That's what we do, and I stand on the side of the road a lot or drive a lot.
I've seen a place, Southeastern something or other. That's probably one of your competitors. I've seen them out there before, but I don't recognize your company's initials.
Depends on where you go. You're probably thinking Southern Protection Agency, SPA.
They do the same type stuff. SPA is exactly what I was thinking of.
When they first started down here in this area, a lot of the guys that we had went over there and started working for them and starting that business up.
I looked up their pay scale online one time because I was curious about it. They don't pay their guys good at all.
Actually, before a couple of months ago, if you started with my company, you started out at $10 an hour. But then everyone started complaining, which I don't mind because I was one of them that was complaining. They bumped it up to $14 an hour.
Getting much better.
Yeah. Our biggest project was, you know, the Gateway project right there, 85 through 85 corridor. All that mess they've been doing for the past 5 years, they finished up in January. Well, technically still kind of going on because we're still working out there. But all the lane closures and the bridge closures and the whatever, all that traffic control was...
That's pretty neat. Yeah, and I remember all the times they shifted the highway over too. A specific date and time was given on a billboard. New traffic pattern will be initiated on such and such a date at such and such a time. Southbound will revert to blah blah blah. Northbound will yep. And I remember all that stuff. I watched that whole project go on for a very long time. And that was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was us that was shifting all that traffic. We'd get out there about 7 or 8 o'clock, and everybody zooming around us, and we'd get it up. We'd shift it from one side to the other or close this ramp off and send everybody this way. And we'd, of course, have a couple of honking horns and some nasty waves, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Definitely. that was a really neat project. I was actually friends with one of the bridge inspectors. It was Trevor.
I think it's a little white Toyota or is a white Ford white pickup.
Yep, that is correct.
Talking about, because I believe I met him out there, because I believe it might have been him. There's a guy named Sam, a guy named John, and I can't think of the guy's name now. He was a DOT inspector. But before we cleaned up the zone and stuff, they'd ride through making sure that all the work was finished and completed before we opened it up. Then they'd come out, hey, this needs to be shifted here. Can you do this? Yeah, we're on our way.
What was his name?
Name, for sure.
Dozens of pictures throughout the process as it went through. From especially bridge pictures, all kinds of stuff being done on the bridges, each bridge. We're in that stage now. Oh, concrete's about to be laid tonight. Here's the concrete going in. I'm like, wow, that's pretty neat. So, I got a whole bunch of those pictures.
I remember one night, I think it was back in, might have been last October or September or one. No, it might have been November because it was cold outside. And they were coming in to put sensors down in the road, measure traffic patterns and whatnot. He was like, all right, hey, we're going to have to, we already had two lanes closed. This is in between the Lawrence Road exit getting on 85 North and then exit 51 where the corridor is. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have to close this lane down. I was like, well, I can't close it down, but we can pace traffic. He goes, all right, can you do it? We're only going to do it about three times. 11 times later, and we had traffic backed up all the way to Whitehorse Road. Yeah, people got mad at us that night, and I walked over to that construction, or the company who did it, the contractor, KO4RU Offer Station ID, and I was like, we can't be doing this.
That's really funny. Was that in the middle of the night or was that daytime?
Time, it was that night. Come December, they were finishing up on the major project. And so my crew was taken off at nighttime and put on daytime. Granted, there's only three of us. They only needed three of us. And we started doing work on the day, mostly shoulder closures and a small lane closure, not too much. But yeah, most of it was done at night. And it was crazy. That there's a few times we're like, what are these guys doing? Because they'd get out there and go, yeah, we're finished. Okay, can we pick up? Yeah, you guys are good to go. You guys are good to go ahead and take that out, get the traffic flowing. And we get out there and there's still equipment in the road. We're like, we're not going anywhere.
Wow, that's a nice surprise. Whoops. It'd be great to have a car run straight into that at 45 miles an hour. That'd be perfect.
About 2 years ago, they were picking up. We have to be out of the road at a certain time, usually before 5, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., definitely by 7, that's the latest. And they were getting ready to pick up, and I was a crew leader, but also drive the crash truck or the TMA, whatever they want to call it. That's the big truck at the very end with the thing that sticks out the end of it. And they were picking up, and an 18-wheeler, the driver had fallen asleep and slammed into the back of that, sending three of our guys to the hospital. They're fine now. But, we've had a few accidents out there and some few close calls. I've been lucky enough not to be in one. I've had some close calls, but lucky enough not to be in any accidents. But, yeah, it gets crazy. You know, drivers, they see a bunch of cones and lights. They're not sure what to do.
Oh, yep, that's pretty crazy. There was one nasty wreck. June 3rd, I'm going to say 2018 or 2019. I think it was 2018, where 85 northbound used to come up onto 385 southbound and then get off on the Woodruff Road exit. and there was construction going on there, and the Woodruff Road ramp had been closed at around 5:30 in the morning. And there was some confusion that went on between a car, a pickup truck, and two semis. And the car ended up underneath the semi. It had three passengers, well, three people in the car. Two of them got killed, one lived. The pickup truck got thrown down the embankment down by Total Wine and stuff. And then there was two 18-wheelers involved as well. Well, one of them had flattened the car, and then there was another 18-wheeler.
And for sure, we were, I believe we were working that our crews were working that night. And it's crazy, too, because, you know, when we go out there, we have message centers or message boards that sits on the side of the road. But they haven't put out the signs. But to me personally, I don't think the signs are enough, especially at night, and traffic going 75, 80 miles per hour. You know, by the time you pass that first sign, you've already forgotten what it said. But, we're working on more and more ways of, getting more notifications, more messages out there to let people know. And I think that's one of the biggest things that traffic engineers or traffic safety faces nowadays is just, trying to get the public aware of, hey, there's construction going on up ahead, especially like the chute break. Ask me, to me, I think that was the worst idea ever.
Talking about up there, I actually run concrete storm drains and associated structures up and down that project. I take them from MXT down in the Anderson area on a flatbed 18-wheeler. I take them up there and disperse them throughout that project from around mile 80 up to about 104 and take them up there.
Question, as a truck driver, is it real menacing driving up through that area or driving through that on either side, north or southbound?
85 has been absolutely horrible the entire time I've been a licensed truck driver. It's been 2 years I've had, just short of 2 years I've had my license. And I don't know, it was nerve-wracking to me the first time I went through there because it's so narrow. You have about 4 to 6 inches on each side of your tires before you're either on the line right up by the concrete wall or in another car's lane. So you have absolutely no room to go to either side without invading somebody's lane and risk wrecking. Either flip your truck by hitting the wall or push somebody else's car. So I think it's an absolutely terrible thing to have traffic pinched into that tight of a gap. I know why they're doing it, because they only have so much room to work in. Their construction site is just as tight as the highway is, but there's just very little room through there. I never really minded driving through the chute where the traffic is one lane each section like that. It hasn't bothered me. I'm not like claustrophobic in there, because at least to me, I don't have to worry about what is going on beside me in any direction. The only threats can come from in front of me with stopped traffic, which isn't a problem as long as you're paying attention, or from behind you in case you have somebody who's absolutely speeding out of control and is not paying attention. So the chute never bothered me, but it's a problem in case a vehicle suddenly breaks down in front of you. If you have the proper following distance, it's not going to be a big deal. But most people maintain their distractions while driving through there, which is where all the problems come into play.
Where you are. Yeah, like the side going northbound, I think that, to me, that's probably the worst side for me, my personally, because I hate it when they pave over one, but then they kind of pave over the other, and now you have that, like, what is it, less than an inch off level of the road, and so you're trying to stay in one lane, but it keeps wanting to drift a little bit. And going up there, matter of fact, I had to go to Charlotte last weekend, and
I was next to a couple of big rigs, and yeah, they're. I thought I could just reach out and shake their hand. They were that close to me.
Helium. Yeah, and it's really tough because they have nowhere to go. In fact, as a driver, I can tell you the biggest tendency that I have. It's just human instinct is to keep off from that wall because, you know, if you bump that wall, you're going to flip over. Your tires are going to climb it in the blink of an eye. You'll lose control of your vehicle completely. So your gut reaction is to keep yourself away from the wall, which immediately puts you encroaching in the lane of the cars beside you. So, if you stop paying attention to what you're doing, stop trying to center your vehicle, and you just drive on autopilot, you actually end up in the lane beside you, borrowing space from the other cars, and it's already narrow for them, just like it is for you. So then they start getting concerned, and it can make driving through there pretty scary. It's scarier for me, like you said, going northbound on there, especially where the pavement is uneven and it grips at your tires and makes you steer one way or the other. It's scarier on the northbound section for me than it is the southbound section where the deadly accidents have actually occurred from people not paying attention.
It's usually like whenever I have 18-wheelers passing me and they tell them, hey, stay to the left and all that. Usually when they pass me, I'll slow down a little bit. I was like, hey, man, if you need to get over, get over. Because, yeah, it was about a month ago I saw, I think it was a slow boy. Or, no, it was a flatbed trailer. It was going up there, and one of the bends as you go around, it was somewhere around exit 100 or one of them. Or, no, it might have been before that. I can't remember. And, yeah, he hit that wall, and he bounced off that wall into the lane in front of me. Luckily, there was nobody there. Because I saw him get close to that wall, and as I started slowing down, I'm like, yep, not today, buddy. And, he bounced off that wall and went into that lane.
Well, there, if a car was next to him, though, that would have been trouble. But it's very, very easy for those things, once they bounce that wall, for that tire to grab additionally and throw the truck into the air and flip it. It's not hard at all. Or to start knocking those barriers flat and to start eating headlong into the ones that are standing, because it can actually knock over a couple of those, put those underneath the truck, and then start barreling into the ones that's vertical, and those things can fly every which way. It can make a big wreck in a big hurry. It's just amazing that they haven't had more of those.
Completely right. And yeah, with that truck, it was the end of the trailer that hit the wall. It wasn't the truck. The truck was still in the lane, but as it's coming around, I guess the trailer started swinging a little bit because of the uneven pavement, and boop, and he went over into that right lane. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's aggravating going up through that area, and I can imagine, especially in a big truck and that narrow passage, it's like trying to stick a square peg in a triangle hole.
I've gotten over time because I've driven that so much. Over time, I've gotten more used to it. I've never really enjoyed it, though, but it's less terrifying now because I've done it more than 100 times. And it gets easier each time, but it's not enjoyable by any means. But the first dozen times I did it, I was absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I had an accident that had happened in front of me because a couple of people weren't paying attention, and we were headed up to, I think we were headed up to Rock Hill because we go up there and hop on Highway 5 and head that way, and then they called back on the radio, Chris, you all right back there? I'm like, yeah, these two guys hit each other up here, and it's just because, they were going, it wasn't trucks or anything, it was two vehicles, but, they try to, I hate it when they get on the truck's butt. And they try to tailgate it, and then they spin around real fast. And like an 18-wheeler can stop in 2 seconds.
No, I sure can't. It's horrible, too, because once they're loaded, I mean, you can just about stand on that brake pedal and pull yourself down onto it by pulling on the steering wheel. Apply all the force you possibly can. And about all you're accomplishing is heating your brake pads up. And not really slowing the truck down anymore. In fact, preventing it from being slowed down more. Once those trucks reach a certain weight,
they become very difficult to stop, especially down a hill. And it's very, very aggravating when somebody just cuts right in front of you. It's like the drivers don't have any concept of how difficult it is to slow that truck down. It just, they don't slow down. When they're empty, it's a lot easier than when they're full. Once they're full, if you're running 60 miles an hour, good luck trying to slow that thing down. In an emergency situation, you really do need some serious distance.